There's so many amazing people who didn't develop normally, like didn't progress. And again, it's just, it gets crazy because once your child has a diagnosis and then you're trying to do what you can to help and to perhaps ultimately not have that diagnosis, you just start looking at everything that's not, you know, conforming to some ideal that you have as a problem that needs to be fixed. How is it possible for a parent of a child with autism to become the superhero their child needs now? I'm Len.
And I'm Cass. When our son was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism, we went all in. We spent over a decade learning everything we could on how we could transform to help our son thrive. And guess what? He's doing it. This year, he ran for class president.
Each week on this podcast, we will be sharing the secrets needed for you to become the superhero your child needs.
If you want to learn how to tap into your innate superpowers to help your child thrive, visit AutismParentingSecrets.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets. This episode is all about the pressure to do things that others expect and the enormous weight that can put on your shoulders. Bottom line is that doing anything because you should doesn't work in the long run. And there's a small shift that can make a huge difference. And the secret today is that you shouldn't do anything. And that may sound like kind of a crazy phrase, and we will go deeper on this and explain, but it really comes down to the fact that if you do something simply because you feel you should, you're really producing immediate pain. It's creating self-inflicted pressure. And, you know, bottom line is that nobody likes to be forced to do anything. And if you're operating and in the background, you're feeling like you should do something, you really are kind of feeling forced. And, you know, if you look at it this way, there really is nothing wrong with doing things that may conform to what others expect of you or what society expects of you. But if that's the only reason, then it absolutely will feel heavy. And one of the goals that we have for ourselves and we want to share as an opportunity for you is that, you know, how do you make this journey feel better? How do you enable this journey with your child to feel lighter?
Right. And we actually would love, personally, I want your journey to feel easier because that is so important. And that's why we believe you shouldn't do anything. And there's a simple yet powerful way of shifting how you think about your actions that eliminates the stress. So I'm going to back up till when my son was diagnosed. So rewind about 12 years, right? And he was diagnosed at 18 months old. And when he was diagnosed, this was, you know, when stats were like what autism was 1 in 120 versus now we're much different. But there was this theory that kids, basically, you had up until they were age 5 to intervene. The idea was this window shuts, the window of healing, the window of recovery, the window of opportunity. So Len and I being so committed to helping our son be his best self, we used this as kind of our motivation. So we had our should list. We had, you know, of the things that we were going to do, and we were on a mission. We were on a mission to help pull him back into our window, right, from wherever he was. And when we think about that whole thing itself was just ridiculous. Because yes, it's better if you can start interventions and diet and healing when they're younger.
Yeah, it is beneficial to start early if you're going to uncover things that help your child.
Right. But the one thing that we've learned during that, and yes, hey, we intervened with food really early on and we did other things and we've learned through the shoulds that we didn't need to should, but what we ended up choosing to do. But when we think about the progress that he made after he was 5 was still a game changer. So I just, for anyone who's listening, who thinks that there's a window, I'm just here to tell you that there is no window and you can still make progress after your child's 5. So I just don't give up hope on your child. And the other lesson that I didn't know because my son was my oldest, and this is so, so important too, is our kids develop differently, you know, versus their peers. And our kids are still kids. And so when I read about, you know, or I talk to a parent who has a 2.5-year-old and they're so worried because their child only can name shapes and colors, or, you know, like things that, hey, it's amazing that your child can name shapes and colors, but remember your child's only 2.5 in that example. Like, and when I look back at pictures of my son, during that time when he was anywhere between 18 months and like probably 4.5, because that's really when I got woken up and did a lot of personal development and realized and started to work on myself and my mindset and my attitude and my beliefs, was when I realized that the shoulds weren't serving my son, because I was, instead of just comparing him to him, I was comparing him to others, and I was comparing him to the milestones that I was given. And I had all the shoulds on me of all the stuff I should be doing to help my son. But in theory, truly, I just needed to worry about what my son was doing. And I could have so much more enjoyed all the moments that I had with my son and enjoyed all those interactions instead of analyzing them and thinking what more I should be doing.
Yeah, so it's kind of where there's two stressors that are happening. It's the pressure from the shoulds of what I, as the parent, should be doing right now to help my child, and then the shoulds about what my child should be doing right now. And so it's kind of at two levels. And, you know, all in all, what gets lost in that, if that's the way you're operating, and we were definitely operating that way for a while, is that then both we stop being who we really were, and we basically were looking at our son and kind of implicitly asking him not to be who he was, that he needed to be something different, that he wasn't okay until, you know, he was conforming. And so it was operating at two levels. And again, as Cass mentioned, it just felt frenzied. It felt definitely overwhelming. And there was just so much self-created pressure there that wasn't necessary.
Right. And I think often, too, is when you have a child who's diagnosed with autism, you're then looking at your child, anything that they're doing, as maybe not typical, versus, hey, they're going through their own developmental milestones and they're going through their own stuff. And some of that stuff's normal. And even neurotypical children go through those same things. So you're putting your child under a microscope and you're, you know, looking at those things as things they probably shouldn't do, when maybe that's just kind of part of the process. So that overanalyzing piece and thinking about those, what your child should be doing, I know was something that was really hard for myself, which then impacted my son. But the other thing that I just wanted to mention that I love, and I know I've said this to you before, Len, and I've put this out there, but to know that Albert Einstein didn't speak until he was 4 years old, I so wish I knew that years ago, because that pressure of, you know, having a child who had lost his words and then regaining language would have been like, okay, cool. Like,
yeah, I think we talked about it previously. Like, you know, there's so many amazing people who didn't develop normally, like didn't progress. And again, it's just, it gets crazy, because once your child has a diagnosis and then you're trying to do what you can to help and to perhaps ultimately not have that diagnosis, you just start looking at everything that's not, you know, conforming to some ideal that you have as a problem that needs to be fixed. And the reality is, you know, so many people develop differently. And it's just, it brings us, I think, to the idea of, like, if you're thinking about the shoulds and where they're going to come from, the first one is exactly what we're talking about. It's comparing to some standard developmental targets or milestones. You know, so for our child, you know, oh, he's not speaking like he should, right? For a child typical of his age, he's not making eye contact like a typical child does, not having conversations. I mean, the list would go on, and he's got behaviors that he shouldn't be doing. So not to say that any of these things are totally okay. It's just that if you're looking at it through the lens of what your child should or should not be doing, there's a charge behind that that makes it feel harder, feel heavier, feel more overwhelming. And these comparisons to standards, they start at birth and they continue perpetually. You know, so when your child's born, they have Apgar scores of how, you know, how they're, when they come out, what they are from a health standpoint. And then a couple of weeks later, in terms of, the only question you're going to get from people is, hey, is your baby sleeping through the night? As if, you know, if they're not, then that shouldn't be the case. So the comparison to these standard targets is a huge source of where the shoulds may show up. And again, it doesn't mean that they're meaningless. It just means that they are data for you to understand and then to take a step back and not let it have this charge over you that, again, will more than likely only produce feelings that you're not really wanting for yourself.
Right. And then beyond that, like the next source that, you know, how it might show up is like with parents or with family members. And so often I feel like that comes back to how you were raised and the things that you did. So I know in the house that I was raised, hey, you listen to your parents. So when I became a parent, I thought my kids should listen to me, which now that I, you know, I have two kids, that doesn't necessarily happen just because you mindfully wanted them to listen to you. So, you know, you think about all the shoulds that you might have been raised with, and then you think about that's how it should be when you have kids. And let's be honest, those shoulds aren't reality. And, you know, how you were raised isn't probably reality of what it should have been anyway. So it's kind of that juggle that will happen.
Yeah. So people, family, friends, all that, a huge source. And then another big one is just the whole concept of the fear of missing out, because you may see around you with other parents and people trying different things, whether it's a therapy or whether it's a dietary intervention or whatever the case may be. Things are constantly becoming popular and you'll hear a buzz around them. So sometimes the shoulds pop up where something's out there and maybe you don't fully understand it and maybe haven't thought about like whether it's a really good fit for your child, but you still feel some pressure or should that, hey, if you don't try it, then you might be doing your child harm in some way or maybe missing an opportunity. So at least for us, you know, we invested in a lot of stuff that probably didn't make sense if we would have really been a little bit more thoughtful and mindful, because we had in that back of our mind, we should try this, especially when we were operating under that fictitious 5-year deadline, which again, totally understandable. The earlier you start, the better, but it's not as if the clock stops at age 5. Absolutely not.
Right. And in any situation where you feel like you should do something, ask yourself, you know, do you understand the why, right? So why should I do this? Or why do I want to do this? And also figure out, ask yourself, do you agree? Because, right, you want to have alignment between what feels right and really what you want your actions to be.
There's nothing worse than that. If you are acting on something that internally you don't agree with, there's instant huge stress. And that's definitely something that you want to operate without that kind of disconnect.
Right. And guess what? You have the ability to say no. So if something, you feel like you should do something, but it doesn't feel right, just say no. And you can think about this as it relates to, you know, family interactions or family gatherings, right? So sometimes you might just not you might choose not to go to an event because, hey, you know, one, it's going to set your child up for failure and you just might not feel comfortable in that situation. So you really have to check in and ask that why. So instead of feeling like you should, it's kind of that guilt thing. Like, don't be guilted into doing something if it doesn't feel right for you or your child.
Yeah. And if you have a well-meaning parent or other family member who gives you some unsolicited advice, you know, again, if you just take it and just have that lingering, that's going to maybe provide some degree of pressure. But if you can, you know, thank them, say, hey, thanks for your input. And again, if it doesn't feel right for you, if it's not in alignment, then just thank them for it and just move forward. But again, there'll be plenty of people who are going to want to, you know, throw shoulds at you, probably with, you know, helpful intentions. It's what you do with it. So the idea, again, of just pausing, and as Cass was saying, do you agree is the first question. And that's, of course, coming after understanding why, like what's the purpose behind, you know, that action or that should that you're considering. And if you simply don't agree, if you can, you ignore it and drop it.
Right. And there's going to be some things you can't say no to. So let's say, you know what, there's a speed limit. So you can choose to go over the speed limit, but you run the, you know, the risk of getting a ticket. But that's where you just, you know, you'll know what those consequences are. So you have the ability to choose, and choose is such the power word here. So instead of what I should do, here's what I'm choosing to do, and really thinking about it from that lens, right? So instead of I should feel the pressure to do X, I'm choosing to do this. But really, it's so, so important that when you choose to do something, always know the why. So when we work with clients, often they might come with a laundry list of things that they're doing to support their child, which is great. But the one question that usually might get they stumble a little bit on is when you ask them, why are you doing that? And that really is important. And that's a lot of the work that Len and I do, is trying to help people think about, you know, what's the root of what they're going after? So what's that root cause?
Yeah. And simply put, you cannot be powerful if you don't know the why.
True.
Right? You just can't. And the nuance that Cass just mentioned, right? Going from the should to choosing something, that's shifting from kind of a victim mentality to a powerful stance of free will and agency over what happens. And so that's where this is a subtle shift in your mind, but an incredibly powerful one, which is why we're dedicating this entire episode to this one concept, because it is that powerful and it's also that transformative in terms of how you feel and how you operate.
Right. It's really that standing tall to help your child, right? And we've talked about before the whole idea of CEO. So this is like being that powerful version of yourself to help support your child is key.
And so that is the shift. And in terms of just taking what we've shared with you and just trying to bring it into your life, it's really simple. This is just a matter of, at this point, maybe sometime tonight before you go to bed, just reflect on the day and try to detect when there were instances where you actually did something that you, because you felt like you should do it. And just take that one example. It doesn't have to be a big one. And just do exactly what we talked about. First, ask yourself, you know, why? The why behind, if you felt like you should, well, why should you? Why would you feel that way? And then it's just a matter of either choosing to drop it because it doesn't resonate with you, or affirm it. So if you can drop it, great. And the way you would affirm it is simply changing what you're thinking and what you're feeling and replacing the should with choosing it. You know, if you can freely choose it now in this moment, then do that and move forward. And with that, you remove that pressure that the should was giving to that action. And now, especially if you can add to it the idea of, you know, choosing a reason that's important to you for you to, you know, continue. And it could be, as Cass was mentioning, if you want to avoid a negative consequence like a speeding ticket, then it's something that you're going to choose to do because that outweighs the consequence.
Right. As Len, you were just speaking, the one example that came to mind is, right, I should, you know, try a gluten-free diet for my child might be, right, an example. But instead, how you could rephrase that is, I choose to feed my child nourishing food. And right, instead of becomes a burden, it becomes a choice. And that's truly a great example of showing that power in that. And so, you know, and how does that show up with each bite of food that your child eats?
And we've worked with so many people who are doing things, whatever it might be, because they feel like they should. And you never have the staying power to do it well or to give it enough time to possibly work. So it really is just not even worth the effort. So the idea of doing things by choice instead of because of some impression that it's something you should be doing, that's the opportunity. And we're excited to share this because it really, really has a huge impact. So yeah, so I guess the bottom line here is just to, as much as you can, make it a habit and to try to fall in love with the idea of noticing when the shoulds are operating and just do this simple exercise and try to shift it. Can you, in that moment, just make a choice to choose it instead of feeling like you should or dropping it? And if you do that over and over and bring more attention to it, you absolutely will alleviate the weight that you might be feeling. And again, help yourself get better outcomes for you and your child in a journey that just feels so much better.
Right. And in a journey where you're choosing to do each of your actions you've chosen wisely.
Good luck, everyone. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Autism Parenting Secrets.
If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, be sure to do that right now. And if you could, please rate and review this podcast. This will help other parents find us and benefit as well. And feel free to let us know what you'd like to hear in future episodes.
Also, head over to AutismParentingSecrets.com and take our free assessment to discover your top superpowers today. Until next time, don't forget, you are the superhero your child needs now.